And 5, 4, 3, 2. What up, y'all? Welcome. Here's the thing. I'm Kev on stage. She's
Patrick Angel.
Bangers. Podcast episode. Smash that like button. Smash that notification button. Bangers, bangers, bangers. All 2024. Praise the Lord. Welcome. If you are a regular Here's the Thing listener and you're not on the Patreon, this episode is being recorded on Thursday, March
7th.
Because this week is NAACP week. We got advanced during the day. And to make sure that the episode came out on time, we are shooting this many days ahead, which is okay because this topic is actually fresh as we're recording. So you will get to watch this at work. And Patreon, we will shoot our bonus on Wednesday of next week, March 13th at around 9. So just want to let y'all know, if you're wondering why this stuff is probably a little more dated than the stuff we usually do, that is why, because we're doing our darndest to be on tour, to go to these events. It's also award season. We're parents. I shot a TV show 5 days, 12-hour weeks this week, so I wasn't on the ball in the beautiful. We've been doing everything we possibly can to make sure y'all still get y'all episodes, and hope we repay y'all's loyalty by being consistent. As we record, by the time you hear this, there should only be two weekends left of the Here's the Thing tour.
Yes.
That will be
Atlanta, DC, Philadelphia, Alabama.
Yep.
And
Raleigh.
Raleigh.
Birmingham. Birmingham, Atlanta, Raleigh 1 week, and then DC, Philadelphia.
In Detroit.
In Detroit the next week. Atlanta and DC are sold out. Raleigh, Birmingham are closing in, and Philly and Detroit, still plenty of tickets left.
How do you feel about the tour so far, Kevin?
I feel great. It's been a dream come true. We've had a good time. All right, let's hop in, if you will, Angel. Ty Tripp was on the Breakfast Club this week as we record this, and he said this, and the church was in an uproar. Let me get my little situation together. Y'all know it's going to take me a second. Just let me be a boomer for a minute. All right, here we go. Y'all ready? Listen to what Ty said.
And systems work with or without God.
Hold on, let me restart it.
It's a system now. Oh, God. It's a system. Everything is a system, and systems work with or without God. Mm-hmm. So I think the institution of church is whack. I think how church is ran is whack. I think the religious system and structure is whack. I don't subscribe to it, even though I grew up in it. I benefited from it, but I learned that God is not the church. And once I realized, whoa, God ain't church. For me, you know what I mean? I ain't from the streets. I'm from the church. So that was a huge thing as well.
It's in the Bible. It says you can't even find God in a man-made temple.
Why don't we read that, though? Mm-hmm. How often do you hear that sermon? No, you hear people, pastors make the people about the church. We got the church name, we church and the church and the bumper sticker, the church. The church should be about the people. The church should be about the people, but the church makes the people about the church. So all churches now are a movement, but they're not about the people. They're not about serving and loving the people. Yeah. What do y'all look for when you go to a church? What do y'all look for? Like you said, everyone don't touch your soul. Don't minister to your spirit.
It's not about what I look for. It's about what I feel.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
It's a feeling. You know what I mean? Like you just,
I know what you mean.
Some people just speak to your soul. Like, you know, I think Sarah Jakes right now, man,
she's
at least for
you.
Me,
oh she's talking
God.
To you. I love
like
it.
Like all the time.
Yeah.
Like so even when I'm just listening to her podcast. So I just think some people have an anointing on them for the moment that we are in. And just like her father had it and still has it, you know,
I think she has
it for the current moment that we're in.
Word.
And then another thing. So growing up in a church where, you know, I'm so used to that back in the day, like for instance, I don't want to go to a big, big, big church because the pastor don't know me. I'm used to going to talk to the pastor after church, going to get that individual prayer, going to tell him what I'm struggling with and all that. As a teenager, I was going through a lot of things, you know what I mean? So I would be able to go and talk to my uncle. He is the bishop, go and talk to him and stuff like that. But I've gone to churches where, you know, pastor don't even know you. And he's not even tripping off getting to know nobody. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He just come and he do his thing. They sing a whole album before he start the sermon. He,
only
you
one
know,
album?
Yeah,
one,
yes, right? You shout. I see people shouting. I see, you know, all of that. And that's what I'm used to, too, because you're not in Cuddle World in the church.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I start coming from there.
Okay. You know? Shout?
And then absolutely not.
I grew up Jehovah's Witness.
Okay.
So I ain't start going to church till later. So
got
I was
you.
Too grown for that Holy
hey,
Ghost.
Hey, going around, knocking on the doors. How you doing? How you know?
He said too all grown that. For that Holy Ghost.
Saturday.
Yeah. A lot of that be performative.
Yeah,
sometimes.
No, that's, yeah, that's yeah, what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You got time for that, but you got time to walk down every block and knock on everybody's door, handing a pamphlet. Sorry.
Every Saturday.
Yeah, nobody got time for that.
And too early. Y'all come so too early. If you came around noon, it'll be all right.
So, yeah, the personal has been lost. You know what I mean? And then it becomes to the point where the pastor feel like he's God. And
yeah, that's
a lot
what
of
I'm
these
talking
new
about.
New churches and
that's what I meant by churches is wagging. Because I know I went on religious wagging, and church people probably like, Ty, you just in my church last week.
Yeah,
I don't mean that. I mean that stuff right there.
Yeah,
and what it's become. I have found it.
Angel, my unruly cousin. We haven't had a chance to talk about this even before camera. So I'm very curious your thoughts. I want to let you go first.
I have conflicting thoughts.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is I obviously, as someone who has grown up in the church, can clearly, if I use my own bias and my own experience, understand where Ty is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure we have similar upbringing, like to be someone who has been in the church, to be someone who is inundated in the church. Like I can understand that his statement more than likely is not so much talking about the body of Christ church,
mm-hmm.
but more so as he uses the word institution, more so the organization of religion or the organization of an actual church, right? But the other conflicting side is I feel like he a little reckless. And the reason why I say that is the conversation on the Breakfast Club where I don't really know any of their upbringing at all. And I'm not trying to have like judgment on them, mm-hmm. but to be able to have a conversation where I feel like, I don't want to say where he's being challenged, but where he potentially could be forced to be very specific about mm-hmm. what he means is not where that's going to happen. Is what I, and so I think in that type of environment, and when you say that on a platform that large, you already got people looking for excuses to not really even deal with the church at all, which is absolutely fine. But I do feel like that conversation in that space felt really, to me personally, just a tad reckless. And if you're going to make that big of a statement, I feel like really getting to the nitty gritty of exactly what you mean. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Versus big sound bites that you know are going to go viral to say religion is whack. If that's exactly what you mean, okay, get it. But I know there was nuance in what he meant. And in the sound bite that I heard, he was not giving enough of the nuance, which as somebody that seems as if Ty still believes in Christ, Ty still believes in salvation.
Yeah.
I feel like then you got to come with the nuance then as well, brother, because there are people who have not had the same walk as you, nowhere close, that are listening to that and are not going to take the time to figure out what you meant. So that's my personal assessment. No. Of it.
Listen, there's been many a times being a skeptic has helped me in life. Like when I got in a car accident and somebody asked for my phone number, I felt like something was wrong. And sure enough, as soon as that person left, because they were going to give me a video of the accident, someone called trying to give me a tow. I already knew they were going to take my car And I was going to have to pay an exorbitant amount of fees to get it back because scammers are everywhere. Well, if you can spot a too good to be true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it is a full-time job, congratulations, you're a skeptic. And Ritual knows that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds their expectations. They're clinically backed. Essentials for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean bioavailable forms. Now, the days are shorter right now, so we're not getting enough vitamin D from the sun, so we got to put it in our bodies. So 97% of women ages 19 to 50 are not getting enough vitamin D from their diets. Ritual Essential for Women 18 Plus was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% in clinical study. Now, I love women's Rituals Women 18 Plus multivitamin. It's my multivitamin of choice. I love that I only have to take 2 capsules a day. I love that it's in a delayed release capsule and they taste minty, which is great. It makes it so much easier to make sure I'm doing what I need to do. I like to take it in the morning. And also, you know, the Ritual has a lot of some other great things. They have daily protein, Symbiotic Plus, Gut Health, and Hyacera. So that's for the skin. Okay, babe. So you got to try it all out. It's a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus. It has 9 key ingredients. Like I said, 2 delayed release capsules that you take you take 2 of them per day and optimize your body's absorption. Okay. It is there's only about 1% of supplement brands on the market that are USP verified mark, which shows that the product contains the ingredients that are actually listed on the label. They're vegan, non-GMO, project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp and made traceable. They also are the industry leading sustainability standards. Okay. So they prioritize sustainable sourced ingredients and set ambitious climate goals. No more shady business. Ritual Essentials for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/crew with a K. Start your ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/crew with a K for 25% off.
That's great. I think I want to speak to a couple of things and you can chime in whenever you feel. One, I said this on my video I posted today. One of my frustrations was with the comments, and you didn't do this, but a lot of people did. Ty said the church is whack. I feel like Ty clearly said the institution, the systems, and the way churches ran is whack. I listened to the whole interview, and what happened is the way he said it in the interview and the way they chopped it made it seem like he didn't say what he said. So, and what I mean by that is right after he said the systems are whack, he said in the actual interview, a lot of churches don't, basically pastors are not chosen by merit. They're not trained. They're family businesses that are passed down. And he was talking about his church too. His grandma was the pastor when he was a kid. She passes it to his daddy. He said a lot of churches are like that. The Breakfast Club clip trimmed it right then and then cut to a part he said later in the in the clip. But obviously, on the internet, people are only going to watch what's available to them. I never expect anybody to go back and watch the full thing. So if you're cutting it yourself, you should always be leery that nobody's going to go back and hear your full thought. So your thought that is clipped, but obviously the Breakfast Club cut this clip and they cut the most salacious part because they're a content creation company. They want the part that is going to be the most salacious. So a lot of people were saying, he said the church is whack. How could he say that? And he benefits from that. One, I believe you should be the one saying that in his position. I think there's nobody better to critique the church than someone who leads a church. Ty has something to lose here. He has a church with members. And if he's willing to still say the way this is working is whack, the church is, which a lot of times I agree, and it's hard to speak in generalizations. Obviously, we understand we're talking about generally. It's not everybody's church, not your daddy's church, not likely your church, but the overwhelming majority of churches. Like you could say, when we were kids, churches were 3.5 hours. We had a lot of services. Not every church, but the majority. Nowadays, churches rarely 3.5 hours, and they rarely have 5, 6, 7 services a week. Again, not every church, but the majority of church. That always is lost on the internet. There's not nuance. We're talking about generally, and people think specifically with a general statement. So I agree. It's interesting. Ty can't win. Ty, when we were young, super legalistic. Everything is a sin. Take that nose ring out. Get that hip hop off your ringtone. Blah, 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 blah. Then he learns from that. And he's like, actually, I see God for what he is now. And I'm getting away from that legalism. And then the critique is, now he's talking about the church negative, blah, blah, blah. Why are you even critiquing the church when you a pastor and you benefit from the church? He said in that video that I benefited from the church, right? So I believe you should critique things you love so that they can be better. If you read the Bible, the letters from Paul to the other disciples, the letters to Corinthians, a lot of time they were critiquing the church, the body of Christ themselves. Jesus was, hey, Pharisees, Sadducees, y'all too focused on the law. You got to be more about grace. Like, I can critique something I love and it doesn't mean I want to throw it away. Doesn't mean I hate it. Doesn't mean they're all bad. Doesn't mean there's nothing good at any of them. But I still think you can critique it. And I do want to speak to this part as well. I agree with Ty in a lot of things. And I don't agree with you on, and a lot of people, he shouldn't have said that here. I think a lot of, and it's okay if we disagree. It's okay if people disagree with me in the comments. I feel like, for me, I think you need to talk about how you feel on them platforms. People are like, the Breakfast Club ain't the right place for that. They ain't got the Breakfast Club is a large platform. And to me, a person who's had the church experience, this may not be for new Christians, but for me, I was like, thank you. I feel validated as a church kid. Maybe new Christians don't feel validated, but people like me, nah, Angel, I'm letting you talk.
I let you talk a long time too. Where I would have loved to have heard him say it? On the reunion tour.
That ain't where people be though.
No. But if it's the church that you're trying to change, it's the church that needs to hear the critique. That would be, to me, that's like if I had a problem with you and I waited until I was on the Breakfast Club to say it instead of saying it to your face.
I don't agree because I think people, I think he answered. I agree. I don't think it's one or the other. I think you can say it in both places, but I think he answered the question that was asked to him. And I think the Breakfast Club is where he is.
Again, listen, this is, I will fully admit, prior to us getting into this, all I got to see was the actual snippet and then your take on the snippet. So yeah. I don't know what the lead in was. Yeah. Y'all know I have no problem with critiques of the church because I critique the church.
Yeah.
Absolutely do. I do feel like watching it, it felt as though, because he made big statements. These were not like, there are a lot of problems in the church that cause it not to be as effective, that makes the institution of church not what I believe that God would want it to be. That's a statement. And then there's the statement of, I think religion is whack.
The funny thing has said this in other interviews. He said this in other podcasts. Kirk has said this millions of times. Maybe not in the exact wording and maybe not on the Breakfast Club. Kirk, somebody said this in the comments. Kirk said something very similar on the Amanda Seals podcast. I didn't see that, so I can't speak to this. But it's not like they're saying this for the first time. It's just this platform is huge. And to your point, Angel, which I do agree with, the fervor with which Ty speaks and said it makes sense. And to be honest, my bias is coming in, one, because I agree with Ty. Two, because I'm okay with him saying it on the Breakfast Club. And three, because I've seen the arc of Ty Tribbett from where he used to be, how he felt about legalism and how he felt better than people, holier than thou. He said that when I interviewed him. Then when he fell, how he felt. And then when he learned God through grace, how he felt. And then how he changed his mind. And he also said this later in the interview, and I think this impacted what he said. He said his church isn't currently operating in a building. But, you know, they had some issue with the building, so they've been meeting online. So he's been more like, oh, actually, what is the body of Christ? And he mentioned that in the Bible, they didn't like physically go meet in a building. And me and Angel have talked about this, how much church we go to, how much the pandemic changed church. And honestly, just Angel and I as working people on the road, we'll go 2-3 months on the road, not home on a Sunday, or flying in on a Sunday after church is over. That's a different relationship with church than we had when we were younger, right? But the other part is, I don't have, and I can, and I think the most fair critique, because I don't, I agree with you, or not agree with you, but I can see the point of maybe this isn't the place. I can see that point. It's okay to me, because it's okay. But I think a lot of times in the Black community, we never want our business to get out. And you're going to critique the church. You critique it at the church. You're going to critique it on Christian podcasts. You don't take it to them people they unsay. All those people in that interview have church backgrounds. Charlamagne said he goes to church online at Potter's House all the time. Envy says he watches church every Sunday with his wife and kids. Jess Hilarious said her home church is in Baltimore. She doesn't go there anymore, but she still watches messages on Sunday. Everybody's the body of Christ. It's just not active people who grew up in the church and active believers. The Breakfast Club people are also due an opinion. And I think people who have left the church might hear that and be like, actually, I can see that. Now, what I disagree with is people like, this is why I don't go to church. You did not stop going to church when you saw Ty on that interview. You already stopped. So,
but you already know when you make a statement like that, that's what's about to jump on there, is the people who are looking for validation.
But that's not true, someone. Though. That's it, just not it, true.
It don't matter. They will use it as validation. It don't matter. And also, this is the other reason why I have, again, Ty can speak his truth. I will always say everyone has a right to speak their truth whenever they want to. I personally, one, begin to think, okay, so was this statement just to get it off him being a pastor and a gospel artist? Mm-hmm. So he has aligned himself in a way to make his career align with his faith, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I personally then am conflicted in trying to figure out, what was your purpose in this? Was it just to get it off your chest? Mm-hmm. Was it to shake up the body of Christ? Was it, or to shake up churches? Was it to hopefully improve church? Like, for me, being a person who is still a believer, but also deconstructing at the same time, yeah, I'm always going to be wondering, when someone says anything good or, you know, or negative about the church, okay, so if you are a person of faith, then what is the purpose behind your statement? So that's the reason why I will call out when I see somebody spitting in their hand or having a vibrator and doing all this stuff, because I'm like, now tell me really what the purpose of that was. That for clicks, or are you really trying to get people a deeper understanding of this revelation that you got from the word? And the visceral reaction I got from it, and also based off of what it seems like the response is, it feels like it was more so for to sensationalize his feelings versus actually bring about a change in the church. But that's just my own personal opinion. He could honestly have been sincere in his heart and the vitriol in which he said it. But being that I am an influencer, and being that I know how to make people click on a video, that's what it really felt like it was, versus it just being, let me get this thing off my chest that I've been really wanting to tell y'all, and that it's been a burden on me.
Yeah.
I got it.
Anything, and I agree with you, anything we say about his heart's posture is mere speculation. He could have been frustrated. He could have been feeling in the moment. It could have been for clicks. We don't know. I think Sarah Jake's total separating thing, and she said this in her church. She was saying the Black church owes the LGBT community an apology, mm-hmm, for how we've treated them, right? And I think people said that about her. She just said that to get clicks, blah, 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 blah. I don't know why she said what she said. I think it was taken differently because she said that from the pulpit of a church. I believe it was her church, but I'm not certain. Mm-hmm. But I think a big part of the uproar about Ty's comments is where he sat and said them. If Ty sat with me and said that, it doesn't go nearly as viral. If Ty sat with Upset the Gram, it doesn't go nearly as viral. If Ty sat with some huge white pastor in the white church world, doesn't go. It's, why are you saying that from the Breakfast Club? And somebody said this in the comments. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not even mad about what you said. They said, well, the body, you know, those people aren't believers. If they're not, you know, we don't even know if they're churchy like that. But we don't know that they're not. You don't know that they're not. I just told you in the interview, they all said they go to church. How they speak, how they act, how their past has been, could be whatever it is. But I don't think we should reserve critiques of the church for only church pulpits, because that ain't even a conversation starter and a place to get there going. Somebody else said in the comments, well, that's like negative, talking negatively about the Black community on Fox News. I don't think that's a one-to-one argument. Because the Breakfast Club isn't the Fox News of the Black community. The Breakfast Club isn't a church podcast, but it is a podcast with people who regularly attend church. It's not a religious podcast, but the three hosts on there had a lot of religious thoughts. Jess grew up in the church, Emmy grew up in the church, Charlamagne grew up Jehovah's Witness, but now attends Potter's House online regularly. Why can they not have an opinion on the body of Christ? Why are they exempt?
Everybody, and again, I don't know these people upbringing, but you get somebody churchy, and that is if T.D. Jakes came in there, they're going to all have a very church opinion. That brings it out. You get a goddamn going astronaut sitting beside you. You're going to have a bunch of opinions about the stars and the moon.
Yeah.
Obviously we just disagree on this, and that's fine. Obviously, we're two hosts that have our own brains, but I'm not in no uproar. I'm not like this is about to crush Christianity.
No.
Christ died for no reason. Absolutely am not feeling that way. I was just like, okay. But for me, if I'm going off of what I have been learning to do, my instincts, instinctually, I do feel like this was for publicity, listen, I understand I only watched an edit, but if I start saying some real wild ass shit, okay, in a long enough sentence.
Yeah.
I am fully aware. I have enough common sense. I have enough knowledge that I know that that thing is going to ring louder than everything else. And I think Ty knew what he was doing. I don't think this is something he's looking back at and being like, no. You guys, you're taking it the wrong way. I think he knew people would take it the wrong way. I think he was going to piss people off.
Well, listen, he's promoting his tour. I'm not saying the man ain't smart. I need you to go watch the whole interview. I'm also coming on tour. Two things can be true. It's the same way Cat Williams had a tour to promote. I'm not saying he said this, but I'm saying if he did, it would be wise. I would for sure say, Angel punched me in the stomach. And by the way, my new book coming out called Angel Punched Me in the Stomach Part 2 is out. I'm for sure. Everybody does it. When Deborah Lee, who used to be a BET? Deborah Jones.
Deborah Lee.
Yeah, when she said her and Bob Johnson had that affair, she said it when she was promoting her book. Scottie Pippen said his stuff about Jordan. That book coming out. Will Smith said he had sex to the point where he threw up. That book coming out. Cat Williams on Club Shay Shay, that tour announcement's out. Of course. At worst, it's a benefit. So yeah, Angel, I agree with you.
And this was not, and I want y'all to understand, just because I didn't see the whole thing, what he said is not taken out of context.
No.
I got the
not
context.
From you. I think you got exactly what he was saying.
I got the context. I'm not taking out of context. I'm just putting judgment on the context of how he said it.
And listen, the thing I like about what you said, you disagree with what he said and where he said it.
No.
You didn't. The thing that frustrated me more than people disagreeing.
I don't disagree with what he said. I disagree with the purpose in how he said it. But go ahead.
What frustrated me to no end, and this is because this frustrates me to no end, so many people disagree with stuff he did not say. He did not say the church is whack. In that clear sentence. And I think it was clear what he was talking about. But I often get frustrated that you cannot have nuanced-based conversation in the comments of a video post. That's why I very rarely talk about any serious subject in any other form than a podcast, because short form video is not the best place for me, period, honestly, to have nuanced conversations. I'm okay with you disagreeing with Ty, what he said, where he said it. I just disagree based on what he actually said. That's all that bothers me. Just, you can disagree with the platform. That's fine. You can disagree with me. Just don't give me no straw man's argument and say I said something I clearly did not say, and then tear that down. And here's the other thing. A lot of times people's disagreement is also virtue signaling. Here's what I do want to say. Mm-hmm. I don't expect hardly any pastors to disagree with him publicly, because they need them people to be coming into the church. I disagree with Ty. He shouldn't have said it there. He shouldn't have said it. And this is not the case, because I need people to know my church ain't like that. Right. And this is what I was going to say earlier that I want to finish saying. And I disagree with your disagreement of my disagreement.
OK, give me the disagreement. Then
there is another. There is. I just don't like, and I don't agree with, this is why people don't go to the church. I think you could say that for anything. You could say what he's talking about is why people don't go to the church. The fact of the matter is, there are churches led by same-sex couples that you can attend. There's no church that you can attend that doesn't fit your needs somewhere. So to say that I have watched that interview and this is why I don't want to go, be upfront. I don't go to church a lot because I'm on the road. Sometimes I could go when I'm not on the road. Sometimes I watch online. This is my truth. Nothing about what anybody else said. And or maybe I don't go because I'm church hurt. Whatever the case is, you can't apply a video that just happened now to why you ain't been to church in 2 or 3 years. That's what I feel.
Okay. Now I want to know, and I could have sworn he said this in that clip. Mm-hmm. You tell me what nuance I am missing on this. He said, I think religion is whack.
Yeah.
Tell me the nuance that I... The nuance that you're saying he said inside of that statement that people are missing. Now, I know the nuance because I have walked a similar life. I'm saying for the people who haven't. Tell me the nuance.
I don't think let me answer two times. To me, when people say religion, they talk about the structure, the rules, the way things are set up, not necessarily the relationship with God for yourself. That's what I think they mean. Kirk Franklin has a whole album, I'm Losing My Religion. He's talked about this all the time. I also don't think Ty is speaking to the people that you're referencing in that statement.
You said
people who won't get that are people who don't understand that religion is the structures, right? Or am I missing? No.
You said that you can't argue with people in the comments over nuance, over mm-hmm. a nuance thing. Now, him saying, I think religion is whack.
I think that was another way of saying the structure and the system and the way things are ran about church falls into the religion, right? For example, when we were coming up,
I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off. But do you see it's because of your experience?
Yeah.
You know exactly what he means. But to just say... I think religion is whack. If we look at the actual etymology of the word religion.
Oh, come on, etymology.
Come on. It means to tie back to God, right? Now, you hear a whole bunch of people say, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is their way of saying, I don't do any customs related to a certain belief system, but I believe in things that aren't just visible, right? Yes. However, there are people who see when you say religion, you're referring to beliefs.
Well, that to me, there's no way to have a conversation where you have to stop and clarify what you're saying so that everybody listening can understand. When I say religion, I mean this and that. If you don't agree or if you miss it because he said religion, because he just said structure, the way things are ran, and the institution, and then he said religion, to me, that all falls under the same umbrella. But if you heard those three, and then when he said religion, you went back to beliefs, I don't know what to tell you. And this is why you can't have a, it's also, they're having a conversation amongst three people that's being witnessed by millions of people. So the four people in the room, I think, understood what he was saying. The person watching that video might be like, Ty Trippett told me it's okay to hate religion. I can't help you. If you feel like that, based on what I just said, I'm also not going to go on and explain every single thing I meet when I feel like I said it. And I also think people purposely misinterpret things. And I also think people hear what they want to hear that furthers their belief, me included. So go on ahead.
If you ask me, nothing stinks more than the bathroom that four young boys use, like my sons, in the house. Ugh. Except for body odor. Huh. Yes. Okay. Absolutely. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Unlike other certain deos, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way. Lumi delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet and, yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Fast forward 6 years and her game-changing whole body deo has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me who love feeling confident from head to toe. Special offers. New customers get $5 off Lumi Starter Pack with code SK at LumiDeodorant.com. I love their tube deodorant. I had never tried anything like this before Lumi. It's, you can put it in your hand and then rub it in the places that you want it. And the reason why I love it is because I'm a thick girl, okay? So I be sweating in the crevices, the creases between my thighs and my privates. I have a fupa, okay? My belly done lapped over my pants. I like to put it underneath there. And then underneath these big old diggles, you know what I'm saying? I sweat up underneath my breasts and that odor can get there. And I love that Lumi is able to get me together. Whole body deodorant. Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body, pits, underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet. It was created by OBGYN, who was seeing how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. It is clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. And it's like a pre-odorant because the mandelic acid is there to stop odor before it starts. Baking soda-free and paraben-free. pH balance for safe use below the belt. Belt and choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, and toasted coconut. Lumi Starter Pack is a perfect. It's perfect for new customers. It comes in a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, and two free products of your choice like mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for our listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi Starter Pack with code SK at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code SK. I was just talking to our followers today and my husband about how sometimes I get lonely. And I realized that when I was talking to my therapist and how that affects my life sometimes, sometimes not feeling completely understood. And I don't know if I was able to prior to her. Well, I know I wasn't. Prior to talking to my therapist, I wasn't able to really word that. I didn't know what words to put on it. And once I was able to identify what was going on, I was able to actually begin to work on those feelings. And what I love is that Talkspace, right, has made it easy to find a therapist that you will like, so that if you're going through something and you're trying to figure out like, how's this affecting my life? How can I get this better? You can do that with Talkspace because it's convenient to meet online at home or wherever you're most comfortable and talk. And Talkspace can make a huge difference in your life, right? I think therapy is completely helpful, and sometimes it's really hard to find the time to meet them, to find one, or to even afford them. Well, you can try Talkspace. And because you're doing everything online, Talkspace can help you get what you want easy, accessible, and affordable. So why wait? Sometimes people wait until something bad happens to talk to their therapist, but that's not what you need to do. You can get to a therapist through Talkspace. Therapy can help shift your perspective, find tools to cope in difficult times, and be a guiding light. With Talkspace, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. It's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your own home. There's no need to commute to appointments, miss time at work, or line up childcare in order to attend sessions. It's a mental health care made easy. Talkspace lets you send messages to your therapist so you don't have to wait for your next session. And therapy can help shift your perspective, right? This is what I said before. But what I love about Talkspace is that it can help with specific challenges you might be facing. It's the number one online therapy platform with licensed therapists and over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, relationship issues, and more. As a listener to this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/crew with a K. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/crew with a K to get $80 off of your first month and show your support for the show. That's Talkspace.com/crew with a K.
This goes back to my point. If you are someone who knows that you are a let me actually pull it outside of church just to give a better like example.
And did he actually say religion is whack? Somebody said, I think he said the religious system is whack. I don't know if he said religion is whack.
I thought he said religion. Let me, because that's this. Actually where my ears perked up. I was like, I can't wait to hear.
Let me see. I don't know. I wasn't listening to that. Hold on.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
Let's listen again.
Everything is a system, and systems work with or without God. Mm-hmm. So I think the institution of church is whack. I think how church is ran is whack. I think the religious system and structure is whack. I don't subscribe to it, even though I grew up in it. I benefited from it, but I learned that God is not the church.
Okay, religious system and structure.
See how you heard it correctly and heard something he ain't say?
I mean, regardless, he was reckless. He was reckless.
But you see how he heard it? He said religious system. He said religion is whack. He ain't say that.
Because I thought he definitely said religion. Well, but you also, I got to go back and listen to the whole thing again.
But I'm talking about in the one we just played.
Yeah.
You heard religious system the first time, and it was like, he done said religion was whack, and that was reckless. And
it is, though.
But that's not what he said. He just said religious system.
Put it like this. This is the example I'll put. This is the example that I will put. If I were to say, and I'm about to be mean on purpose.
All right.
Just take it this way. If I were to say, I think working with my friends in the structure that creates in our communication is whack.
Mm-hmm.
And kept on, right? But yeah. Still, like, you know, giving like little things in there, people would take that.
For run sure.
with it, right? Mm-hmm. Even if I'm talking about, no, it's really hard to like shift gears and know when I'm talking to like a boss, know when I'm talking to a business partner, know when I'm talking to a friend. And this is all fictitious. I'm not saying exactly.
You said Kevin doesn't communicate very well. I heard you loud and clear.
But what I'm saying is that now you being the representative of what I am talking about, right, have every right to feel some type of way because I had a responsibility to you to be extremely clear about what the hell I'm talking about when it concerns this, right? And so that's the reason why I can understand why church people might be upset, because he could have been
1,000%
way more. That's all. And truly, y'all, I'm just
no. I truly, I think that was a very good point. I think that was actually a very good point, because what you're saying, and correct me if I'm misunderstanding, people can make the inference from what you said, even if you didn't say it specifically, and then apply it. I agree with that. I also want to say this too, and we can move on. I do want to talk about other stuff, but I do want to say this. What I found in my life about, and this has been me in my life as well, when church, I'll just say church culture or church, is a huge part of your being, how you see yourself, how you see the world, critiques of the church feel like critiques of you. If you don't like the church, you don't like me, or you're talking about my church, or you think, you know what I'm saying, or you're going to hurt us when, yeah, because we're so connected. And I feel like that about the Black community. People embarrass the Black community, I take it personally or whatever. I'm not that way anymore, but a lot of people still feel personally attached to church, and therefore a criticism of, it's like how a lot of white people feel like a criticism of America and how America treats Black people is a criticism of them, yeah, and how, yeah, they personally treated Black people. I don't, that I'm not saying that. And I feel like I'm not, why are you taking a general conversation about a body and structures and practices? Why are you personally taking that personal about you and your relationship with God and your relationship at your church? And when it's so connected and it's sacred, and literally we ain't even talking about our life on earth only. We're talking about our eternal life. This is very important to people like us. Yeah. You're talking about how I live my life. And this is why I think it's hard for a lot of people to deconstruct anything they've been taught. Because if what you were taught and what you've come to believe is not true, who am I now?
Exactly.
If what I, not that I can learn, like I'm a learning person. I want to learn. I want to be challenged. But a lot of people, it's like the Matrix. This is what I liken it to. The guy in the Matrix who was like, put me back in the Matrix. I don't even care. I don't care that the steak I'm eating is not real. The woman in the red dress is not real. I don't care. I don't want to know the truth. I don't want to eat your gruel. Put me back in there.
That's and
100%. When I used to be in the church, I try to challenge how them people thought. They looked at me and be like, boy, I don't want to be challenged. I want to believe what I believe. Yeah. I don't care what you say. It is safer. It is more changing your viewpoints on something that is so paramount to how you see yourself. People don't want to do it. It reminds me of Kirk Franklin's mom, who was looking at that DNA test, mm-hmm, and the truth is right there. It's telling you. And she's like, no, if you don't accept this, you're going to lose your son. And you're still like, no, that's how this be for people. They have the truth right in their face. The context of the Bible. When I start learning about who, like how to read the Bible based on who was talking, and I would tell them older saints, they'd be like, absolutely not. Tattoos are sin. But he was talking to the Levites, and this, tattoos are a sin. You're honoring the dead. But no. Tattoos are a sin, and you're honoring the dead. But okay, now if you believe that, go back a sentence or two when it says, don't shave your beard. I don't care. Don't eat shrimp. I don't care. Tattoos are a sin. You're honoring the dead. All right, well, I can't tell you nothing.
So is the Kevin that we're talking to now the same Kevin? And
it's a great point.
I'm talking about canceled Theological Thursday, or is this even more evolved from that Kevin?
I think this is the Kevin that exists on March 7th. It's all an accumulation of all things. I can say all this and I still won't do Theological Thursdays, but that's not because I didn't want to have the conversations. I didn't want to deal with the blowback. I just wanted to, I could be, and I've continued to have those conversations with people. I just don't record them anymore. And I don't put them out for public consumption, but it wasn't because I was not curious. It was because
I know you respected the point of views of the people and what they were saying. But the only reason why I asked that is I think you know as a content creator and a Christian.
Yeah.
This is going, if I do this, even if there is truth in what we are discussing,
1,000%.
There's going to be
and people were blaming and saying I didn't say things I did not say. But here's the other thing, and I'll be in this. I thought this was the point you're making, and I shouldn't have interrupted you, and I apologize. This is 40-year-old Kevin. 20-year-old Kevin would have been like, Ty is completely irresponsible. He shouldn't have said that. Because where I saw myself and how I saw myself and my relationship with God at that time, actually probably not 20, maybe before I started being a youth pastor, mm-hmm, I can honestly say I really didn't start to study the Bible for myself and learn not to just agree with what had already been taught to me, mm-hmm, until I became a youth pastor. And I was a youth pastor from like 24 to 28. And that's when I started reading stuff and listening to people that weren't my actual pastor. And, mm-hmm, that's when things start to be like, you know, and learning from people who went to seminary and theologians. That's when I first started. But up until that point, I was just like, whatever my pastor says is law. There's no reason to to question it. So I think prior to youth pastor camp, I would sat here and been like, Ty is wrong, and I can't believe that. But at that time, Ty was like, hip hop is on your ringtone. I'm trying to tell you, God. And at that time, I was listening to hip hop and feeling guilty. So I've been conflicted from the very beginning.
But no, what I'm saying is that you, even during Theological Thursdays, you realize that as much as I might enjoy these conversations and love hearing point of views that challenge the things that I have been taught, you decided, and this is your own personal decision, that the blowback is not even worth it. I'm not going to sit here and do it and then try to keep defending it because I already know. So I feel like, you know, with Ty, just go ahead and take these blows that are coming from people because that was a choice.
Yeah,
that you may, and like I said, it's not that I disagree with what I said. I don't. I really honestly don't. I just am just like, okay, now, sir, you can't pretend like you didn't know the consequence and what was going to happen because you've been an entertainer for too long. You already know how people are, and you definitely know how church people are. Mm-hmm. So I just think, I don't know if this if he really wanted this discourse to be able to start conversations, then bravo. Because that is what it's happening. But if he thought that this discourse was going to, I guess, I'm trying to think of the word. If he thought this discourse was going to maybe change the people who are in charge.
Yep.
I don't know. Well, this is a good conversation. I love it.
I agree. I don't think we need to agree. I can't speak to what Ty said or why he said it. And I feel like we've covered it enough.
I love tactics. Responsible, irresponsible, or not.
I love it. What is this? All right. Let me move on. The next thing I want to talk about is my auntie.
Yeah. She loves
you. My auntie done seen my video, Angel.
Kevon on stage. Yeah. Which video? Once I heard that she did this, I said, now, where did he say that? I was like,
Did you see my video?
When you talked about her, did you say
it? Yeah, I'm going to play it for you in case you didn't see it. Let me go back. This was probably what I'm.
Because you've also said it on stage. That's what also had my mind.
Mm-hmm. And I know you don't have time to watch all my videos.
Listen.
This is a very busy world.
I watch most of them, though.
Friend. No, I'm not. I wasn't being a jerk about that. I'm just saying that I don't watch all your videos. It's impossible. And the algorithm don't even show me all of them.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let me play you my video first. I just found it.
I'm on Kevon on stage. And then
I'm going to play that video, then I'm going to play her video after these messages. We'll be right back.
Kevon on stage, my baby. My baby, Kevon on stage.
All right, here we go. Here's my video. And
what it pertains to.
Let's rewind it so we can start from the beginning.
I definitely didn't see this.
Video with her and her husband and what it pertains to and all that type of stuff. But I cannot not say something. There is entirely too much headspace in somebody go and help your auntie. They're way at the bottom of the screen. All I see is blinds and a beautiful backyard. And I scan through. This is 37 minutes. They never fix it. They are all the way at the bottom, like lower thirds. That's where your name goes. You know, on TikTok, they're putting text on the bottom. On Instagram, the aspect ratio is all messed up. When I seen it cropped and stuff, people are fixing it for you. If you go make this content, I appreciate it because it helps me fill out my podcast docket. I got to have something to talk about on my podcast. So I appreciate everything you've done since Club Shay Shay. But I'd appreciate it if you just feel y'all either scoot up or adjust the camera. All right? Because I can't look at blinds all day. I'm not going to stand through 37 minutes of blinds. I won't do it.
All right. Now, this is what she said. Let's rewind this.
This is great.
And one old conversation. But y'all know this technology shit, it throws us, right?
Are we doing better? Because our Stephanie hooked us up and we not at the bottom of the screen, the top, one eye out.
Right. And I got to say something to my baby. I believe it's Kevon on stage. Listen, we trying to keep the screen with that. Okay, baby. Because that baby said, how come they down in the... in the lower
because we technologically pitiful. That's why.
Now we must. I would be remiss if I didn't say, y'all, we still got some work to do. Okay, mm-hmm. We still got some work to do, y'all. Y'all had less headspace, mm-hmm. but y'all still have too much headspace.
I think they feel like the comments are coming down.
I don't know. I said, boy, you got. I don't know how. I got to come in here and show y'all how to set it up. Because the first time they was basically, they was lower thirds.
They were right here. So what we want to talk about today is DL, you know, sweet baby, that I talked to you and your wife about what you said. So at any moment in time you want to talk to us, you can, okay? That was them.
And the second time they had about your face. They didn't feel it out yet.
Yeah, no, it was just, well, I think we done better. Look at Kevon on stage, that baby. Did we do better, baby? I think we did. You think we did? Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Fit comfortably above them with plenty of room.
Standing full up. You could do a full green screen of your body and just walk across their head. And just walk across.
Listen, at that age, it's okay for you to be a little behind. You got people need to be helping you.
Did you get your stuff together? I called my mother on FaceTime, and this is what I see. Hey, what you doing? Oh, okay. Is Amar coming over? Is he gonna come see me? I'll be like, Mama, turn the phone, and she's like, Oh, I don't know. I had no idea.
Listen, that's hilarious. How did it feel to be an official sweet baby? Listen, let me tell you what. Feels great, but I know I'm not safe. As long as I'm saying light things like I did, I'm good. But that also let me know, Melissa's been telling me this from the beginning. She said, I need you to be more careful about the videos you make because more people are watching them. And just because they don't comment, don't mean they don't see them.
Be like Ty. Don't be careful. Be like Ty Trippett. Say big things.
Ty Trippett?
Yeah, Ty Trippett. Take them bees out. Ty Trippett.
I'm trying to figure out what my whole content strategy is going to be because I got a big platform. I just hit 3 million on Facebook. I'm coming up on 2 million on Instagram. I'm coming up on 1 million on TikTok, 1 million on YouTube, and Twitter is, you know what I'm saying, 300,000. I don't believe it's in me to get 1 million there. But you're right, Shannon. I did say I want to be more confrontational. But I don't want to be in the crosshairs of Monique. I don't want the smoke.
You're going to say something, you're going to trip up, and she's going to snag your ass. And you know what? You're going to survive it. The thing is, it's kind of like after you got dragged on Twitter back in the pandemic.
They was on me. I had a couple times.
Yes, but now it is what it is. It's not even like, not that you're out trying to get dragged, because that's not a part of your content strategy. Breach is calling me. Hold on. You're not trying to make sure the baby ain't away. I'm filming the podcast, but I love this.
Part of Reckon.
You are part of Reckon. I'm going to call you back.
I have a good podcast.
Bye. Just got to make sure my friend ain't
having this. This is hilarious. Let me tell you real quick, Angel, while you get your thoughts together, I can't keep up with the anime content. Them folks, it's never enough videos. I make 3 or 4 anime videos in a row, and people who don't watch anime be like, all right, nigga. But then the anime people be like, where you at? Bro, I've been on set all week. I can't keep up with the animes. But it is more safe. Go ahead, Angel.
Being a comedian. It is. I think you can always have you don't have to be one of those comedians that are obviously using being in the crosshairs as a way to build their platform, because there are some that do that purposefully. But I also don't think that you're going to fully be able to avoid it unless you're not going to be able to. You haven't been able to avoid it now.
I know. And with the best of intentions. And the other blessing is I am still always a comedian. So even if I am obliterated by Monique on video, on stage, you know what I have? Material. Because that Kevon on stage, That didn't be tripping them folks. I would have had something. It's not my desire.
Right.
But if it happens, I got to talk about it. I'm not going to miss the opportunity. I would be a fool to have the whole world looking at me and not have nothing, at least drive them to churchy. I got to at least point them in the direction.
The direction, churchy. What is your, because I know you do have a threshold of like when it's worth going ahead and giving it the attention and when I'm not even going to do you the honor of commenting back. What's your threshold?
You know, that's a good question, Angel. It really depends. I see a lot more stuff than I speak on. Most of it, I can either I feel like people are baiting me. If I feel like my answer will help you in any way, it's so easy not to give you what you want. Because if I bring it even to obliterate you, I've won, but at what cost? Because I brought attention to your platform, your blog, your page, whatever. And if my ignoring you ends it or quells it, because a lot of times what I, no matter why I respond to something, my response always draws more attention to the original thing or brings it to a lot of people who know. Every time I've been gotten dragged or got dragged, a large amount of my audience didn't even know I was dragged. Especially if it happened on Twitter, they'd be like, boy, I don't even be over there. No matter what platform it is. Yeah. People don't be on that platform. So when I cover it on other platforms, they'd be like, now what happened? What happened? So I'm always going to draw more attention. And then if I draw more attention to the culprit, I'd be just mad at myself. Because I'd be seeing a lot of people who mention me. And anytime your videos about me are your biggest videos or bigger than other traditional celebrities or other YouTubers, I'd be like, boy, I'm not even gonna give you the honor. You'll never even know I saw this. The power I have is in ignoring you. Now, if the narrative is dangerous, I'm more likely to deal with it. Or if it's patently untrue, or if it hurts people around me. Like when I made the podcast announcement. And the reason I knew the reason I did it and I knew why people made their videos, but I knew in my heart why I was doing what I was doing. I'm okay for people misunderstanding, but I also been telling myself that as I grow in my career, I'm going to be able to control less and less of things. And I'll be responding to things all the time. Yeah, so I'd be pissed off. I drink some milkshakes or, you know, Chick-fil-A got the mango frozen lemonade. I'll hit that up, calm my nerves. I'll talk to my family and go off. Like, man, they stupid, nigga this, nigga that. And then I go on about my business because I'm not going to give you the light of day. Or if I'm completely wrong. Like when the girl brought attention to the video I made about her years ago and I needed to apologize and I felt the need to apologize, then I'll deal with that too. But less and less, I think I'll be doing less and less because most people are not coming at me in good faith. They want views.
Right.
They want to attack me. They want me to mention them, and I just won't do it. And I've been trying to focus on the 95%. I don't know if y'all have been around for a long time. We used to talk about the 95% of the people who rock with me really rock with me, and I focus too much on the 5. So that's why, and this is not a plug for Patreon in that way, but I spend more time in Patreon and stuff because that audience, even when they disagree with me, I know they're coming from a place of genuineness, not like, oh, this will get them right. The majority of them, not all, but I'd be like majority. They coming at it like, because Angel can critique me. The Patreon audience can critique me because I know they coming from a place of like, nah, Kev, we rock with you, but you was tripping. Because I'm not even going to say I won't do something that will embarrass you because I'm a real human being acting in real time. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
I feel like the bigger you get, the more you're going to have to Beyonce it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Don't respond to nothing.
She only responds in her music. She never calls people out directly.
She really does it. And I think because, you know, the more famous you are, the bigger of a target you become. And at the end of the day, a lot of the people who are complaining don't even have the power to take away from your income, take away from your career.
Or they're not even a follower of mine.
Yeah.
And they know about me, which... Listen, when I tell you I misunderstood fame when I asked for it and wanted to be famous and rich, I wanted to be a household name and didn't factor in that don't mean every household likes you. They know about you, but they don't always like you. Ain't nobody pulled me aside and said, now you don't even really know what you're asking for. You think household name means everybody loves you. That's not the case for anybody who's a household name.
You know, fame is scary.
Yeah. Sometimes the bigger you get, people just get mad because you're that big. And they turn on you because people like you and you ain't even done nothing. Once I see people going at Tab and Keith Lee, who are genuine people, I said, well, if they attack them, then I ain't even as pure hearted as them is.
Listen, he said, the statement I'm telling you is the truest statement there's probably ever been on this earth. Is too much is given, much is required. Mm-hmm. And just me, and y'all know I'm way more reckless than Kevin is, but I also don't care as much as he does. But I realize I have to now think a little bit more about the impact.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about in front of the camera. In front of the camera, I'm pretty good. I can silence myself real fast. Most of the stuff I do in front of camera, I'll say it 10 toes down and not give two craps about who I'd have made mad. I'm talking about when the camera is off. Yeah. That is when I am way more tuned into, now, Heifer, make sure whatever you say and do, especially if you in public, is something that you truly want to stand behind, especially, I don't be thinking people know me. People pretend they don't know me. And then after the interaction, they'll be like, and I just wanted to say, and I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, the other person I mentioned that I forgot was the librarian dude, Michael. They went at that boy and all he do is love the library. He didn't have less than Tab. And somebody was like, he got a dark energy. I said, boy, y'all say anything.
Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports, or DFS, platform in North America. You already know we know about them here at Here's the Thing. They are the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just like, it's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Listen. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Also, Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, your player projections won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays alive. Now, that's good right there because, you know, players be getting injured in these sports all the time. So you don't know what's going to happen, right? Listen, we actually really do like Prize Picks here, even though I know y'all have seen some of our hilarious, hilarious reads of Prize Picks. But it is a really, really fun way and an easy way to play DFS. So you could select a lot of different prize picks, right? So maybe this week I might do Caitlin Clark for more than 30 points and LeBron James for more than 7 assists. Look how easy that is. Or Kevin Durant for more than 28 points and Trae Young for more than 10 assists. It's so easy. I don't know which one I'm going to select this week, but I'm going to choose, okay? So download the app today and use code SK for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code SK for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Thank you, Prize Picks, for sponsoring today's podcast.
So anyway, now let's move on, Angel, because I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Risa Tisa done got signed to CAA. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts? I want to hear your thoughts before mine.
Good. I hope that whatever she sells the rights to her story for, they get her prime dollar. Fact of the matter is that we are rehashing and retelling a lot of the same stories. So while her story is probably rings true for some people, the fact... Oh, CAA is a huge talent agency in Los Angeles, in New York. They have offices everywhere. They represent like big people like Angela Bassett, Beyonce, So it is like the creme de la creme. Anything you want to be able to create, they have in-house, they can make it happen. They have the writers. They have the producers. You know, it's a big deal.
Beyonce literally was signed to them, if mm-hmm. she's not still.
They have athletes. Like, CAA is the biggest agents, one of the biggest agencies there is. I think Hollywood is learning. You know, there used to be a day and age where you had to know somebody. No, somebody had to know you.
Yeah.
Not you had to know somebody. Somebody had to know you, and that somebody had to be able to talk about you to somebody else in order for you to get into the rooms that she's now getting into. But Hollywood is learning that that is cutting them off from people who have amazing stories to tell.
Yes.
And she does. It's an original story of hers. It's something that, yeah, they could have paid somebody. First of all, they're not trying to pay nobody, to be honest. Let's be honest with all these dang old strikes we had. But at the end of the day, when you're trying to tell original stories and be able to monetize those, she needs to be represented so that people don't take advantage of her. And CAA is going to squeeze every penny out of every single studio, every single merchandising, every single platform for her. So,
I agree with you. I've seen some people who I follow. I'm not even talking about random people. I'm talking about people I know in the industry mad that she got signed.
Oh, because they worked so hard to get.
Literally, like, why? Who is she? Why does she deserve this? I ain't been signed to CAA. Let me tell you who she is and why she deserves it. Melissa told me that somebody tabulated how many views that story got on TikTok, and it was like four million or 440 million. It had to be 40 million at least.
It's well over that.
400 million, maybe it's 400 million.
400 million, because most of her videos have 10 to 12 million views.
400 million views. The fact that people know the name Risa Tisa, she basically has an IP. If I were her agent, I would have signed that book deal immediately, turned that into, because it was big on TikTok and in the internet, but there's a large part of people who have no idea who she is or what it is. I would sign that book deal, and then I'd be selling the adaptation rights to that film or that TV show. Because Dear John, this is a murder mystery, but that Dear John thing, this has psychological thriller all over it. It has Lifetime. It has Hallmark. It has potentially Netflix. I don't know if y'all remember this story. Oh, I can't remember the name, but it was a wild story. It went viral on Twitter. She ended up getting either a book or a TV deal. That IP and the way she told that story and the amount of people that stuck around and watched all 50 parts of a 5 to 10 minute clip each time, she's already proven her worth.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just saying that many people interested in that story. Turn that into a book. Turn that into a movie or a TV show. Zola. That's what it was. Thank you. Well, y'all be on it. Zola's story went wild and she got it turned into something. I don't remember if it was TV or a movie. But if Risa Tisa's story, and Legion's doggone interviews be going viral. Apparently he be lying through them. But the fact that she's got the Risa Tisa cinematic universe, I want this to happen to her, because people with less interest to me, less interesting people, often get signed and make all kind of money, and black women hardly ever get to capitalize. This is for On Fleek Girl, who all them brands took her term and didn't pay her. I'm happy that brands took her to London and BMW reached out. Like, I'm happy that somebody who had the internet by the ball sack for at least a weekend is cashing out for at least a weekend. I hope she makes $10 million.
I don't know how people are upset. Are we not used to this yet? Let's go back.
It's hard to be happy for somebody who's getting something you think you deserve.
But let's go back, though. Let's go back. At one point in time, right, in this industry, you had to, like I said, it was all about knowing folk. It was all about having a look, right? Then all of a sudden, there's the rise of the stand-up comedian. So now you have agents being like, ooh, this person is hilarious on stage. We can take their jokes adapted to a sitcom and blow that person up. So you got these people now who are like not like skinny, thin, the heavy set men, big, big women now getting on TV, and all they did was sell some jokes. Then there was reality TV, and you had all these people becoming famous off of reality TV that not only were starting to get like big checks because of endorsements, they started to take away acting roles, right? Mm-hmm. And they're getting like serious agents. You didn't need an agent to be on Real World. You didn't have to be have no agent. You just had to stand in a line for a long time. Then came the social media wave, right? The social media comedian. You got these people doing 6-second vines.
And
you got studios being like, that dude made me laugh off of that 6-second video. Let's put him on this TV show. Now, meanwhile, you got people who didn't went to school, who can do Shakespeare. Okay. Who can do multiple accents? Who can
multiple accents like me? Hello, governor. Spot a cheese in it. Tuesday, bruv.
Amazing. And I'm watching all these people. I'm watching the Kim Kardashians of the world.
Yeah.
Like, how, why? And now we have TikTok storytellers. So yes. I don't know. This, there's nothing new under the sun. So whoever is mad has not been paying attention. This
I
is,
agree.
Until we stop laying back on our heels and feeling like we've created the only path that there is to get to this thing that we're looking for, to sign the CAA, which has never actually been a dream of mine. Until we realize whatever path you can find is the path that you should take, we're going to be sitting here getting mad at folk that just seem to have found a path that you didn't find first.
Let me tell you what, Angel, you were so right. I was looking at, I don't know if you know what Montreal Just for Laughs Festival is.
I auditioned for it.
They just declared bankruptcy a couple days ago, canceled the fest. If y'all don't know, it's a humongous comedy festival. It's that
huge.
It was the biggest comedy festival in North America. Many comedians got their start, got their first show, their first deal, their Netflix special because of it, and they don't have the bread no more. And when I tell you comics online were livid, because that path is gone.
It's gone.
That specific path is gone. Comedy clubs close every single day. I'm rethinking how I'm touring now. We'd be looking at these doggone fees. I said, we got to do something else. I got to figure out another way to do it. Because these businesses are killing us. The amount of fees you have to pay, it's a monopoly and it's wrong. But I got to come talk to the people.
You better not take my brunch pass, y'all. I'm about to do a brunch tour. Get ready.
A brunch pass?
A brunch? I said, you better not take my pass. The brunch pass.
Oh, pass. I got a thing coming out called Mondays and Mimosas. I'm going to go to cities. We're going to be drinking and stuff. Let me tell y'all what. When y'all know it's bad for me, once I open up meet and greets again and my nose starts bleeding, and I'm gonna be like, yeah, man, I'm so happy to see you. I don't know if I told you this, Angel, if I said this on the podcast. One time I had an eye infection and I didn't know it. I was doing a meet and greet, and every time a camera flashed in my eye, a tear would fall.
Oh, no.
And I had to do it for about an hour and a half. And it was stinging so bad. I was in Tennessee, ended up having to go to an eye doctor out there. And he was like, man, what, you got an eye infection. What was you doing? I was like, I was meet and greet.
Oh, you probably got all close and somebody's dirty face got into your eyeball.
Somebody's dirty face got into my eyeball. But anyway, I'm happy for her. I hope she gets the bag. I hope she casts me as Legion. I'll be in there lying. Good.
I know you would. Are you going to get the boys?
And last thing I want to talk about, Jake Paul is fighting Mike Tyson on Netflix.
Did you say Mike Tyson?
Jake Paul is fighting Mike Tyson on Netflix.
That's not who y'all were talking about when we were at the table talking. No. Y'all were talking about somebody else.
No, this just came out today. July 20th, Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul on Netflix.
You know, the Paul brothers,
man.
Did I tell you I saw him at VidCon?
Nah.
It was the corniest thing I've ever seen.
Really?
I think I got a video of it.
No, y'all, Mary, he's really fighting Mike Tyson. This is on Netflix's Twitter account.
He had about an entourage. I want to say looked like 15 people. And they all waited. Formation. He came out. To like get in formation because he came out of a sprinter.
Oh, okay.
They all had on black shirts. And then they hired someone, and I'm certain this person was hired, to yell, "Oh my God, that's Jake Paul." That's Jake. And the security person's yelling, "Everybody, get back. Get back. Everybody, get back." Now, mind you, where we got out, wasn't nobody around.
Nobody was around?
Nobody was around. Oh my God.
A Netflix boxing event.
This is Risa Tisa, you know?
Listen, he is a promoter's, he is the best promoter since Don King. He
promotes himself,
capitalized on people's disdain for him to the tune of millions more than anybody I can think of in boxing. He's blurring the lines. It doesn't matter if he wins. The only thing that hurts him is if Mike Tyson murders him. If he lives through this bout, even though Mike Tyson is 57 years old.
You see it in his face, actually.
And his workouts, he still looks like he packs a punch, no pun intended. And Jake Paul has always picked just enough of a fighter that people are like, "I want to see you lose." And Netflix is like, "I don't care what y'all do. This could be the worst fight ever.
People,
eyeballs are going to be on Netflix.
Are you going to watch?"
What? I would have paid. I paid for all his fights. I am his target audience. I want to see him get punched. And also, I be watching business people do business and trying to figure out what I can do. If I could fight Tony Baker and if it'd be on Netflix, I would be punching Tony Baker in the face. If they give the kind of money Netflix gave him, guaranteed, there ain't even no pay-per-view for this. His buyout had to be crazy because he was getting a big cut of the pay-per-view money.
Wow.
And by it being on Netflix, there's no pay-per-view money. So Netflix, if I'm his team, you got to cover me. There was estimates of him getting $20, $30 million on pay-per-view on the back end.
$30 million?
And this is in addition to the purse and the money. He got the merch. Boy.
Unsock me out.
I would fight you for $30 million.
Oh, nigga, I'd fight you for five. Don't worry about it. We are going to have a good time. We are going to be there. We're going to tussle. I know I just need to throw my weight around. Oh, here it is.
Later on, get my back out again.
This is what it looked like. You hear him yelling.
Everybody, yes, it's so unbelievable.
All here.
There's nobody in the. There's nobody lying. Why are y'all saying?
There's nobody there.
Who needs to back up? It's just y'all people.
There's nobody.
This is how Netta and Charles was. Oh my God, Netta,
Charles. Let me see if I can get it to fast forward. What is that on my phone?
Food. They're gonna manufacture some press.
Oh yeah. Okay. They got information like they about to do a Beyonce music video. And I thought it was the funniest thing ever. I was like, why are they doing it like this? And it took him forever to come out. Let me see if I can fast forward this. This
is
hilarious.
Is that you saying this is hilarious?
Yes.
All the people there are him and the videographer.
Yeah, it's here it comes.
That's a lot of people with him.
Yes. You hear that person yelling?
That's 15 people.
For that white man. And nobody's paying attention.
First of all, they walk the other way. It's just their group. There's not even anybody up here.
Because they're not even inside of the VidCon place. And somebody in the background is yelling, "Oh my God, it's Logan!" I was like, and I wanted to be like, how much they pay you to yell that? Because I could yell it.
Did you see Netta and Charles do that video with the same audio?
Netta and Charles did what audio with what audio?
Oh boy.
What video with what audio?
Let me see if I can find this for you, Angel. I about died. Patrick put me onto this. I didn't even know it. Let me see if I can find Charles. Yeah, let me show you Patrick's video. Hold on. Because this, I said, boy, we done lost the plot. We done lost the plot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Give me 1 second, y'all. I'm being a millennial. Just give me a second. Got to text it to myself. Y'all, let me live. Let me land.
Oh, you don't know who Netta and Charles is? Oh.
Yeah, I was late on this. Very late.
You don't know Netta and Charles? Charles, your lunch is ready.
I was late on this. All right. Watch this, Angel.
Hand embarrassment.
I think I've seen this video, but I don't know what audio you're talking about.
Well, here you go. If you guys don't know who Miss Netta and Charles is, me neither. But they went viral recently because they were in New York and they left a hotel. And allegedly, there was a large crowd of fans there screaming and asking them for pictures. Take a listen.
Oh my God, Miss Netta! Oh my God, that's really Miss Netta. Oh my God. Let me get a picture.
So this obviously went viral because it seemed a little weird. It seemed a little set up. And there were, I don't know, it seemed like the people who were asked to do this weren't really putting their all into it. And they were yelling things that no one would really yell.
Oh my God, that's Miss Netta. That's really Miss Netta. Oh my God. Let me get a picture.
So, okay. That happened. I asked some friends to do that quick clout move, right? Here's what you don't do, though. When you land in Miami, you can't do it again with the same exact audio.
Oh! This is the video I saw. I saw this video. Didn't know there was a video.
And then you thought it was done. Here's what you really don't do. You don't have one of you guys accidentally upload the version without the audio.
Oh, I didn't even see this part. My Instagram stopped. I didn't even know that.
Oh, I love it.
You accidentally uploaded the quiet version. That's... What are we doing?
I didn't even see this.
I would be like, you ruined the whole.
Oh, the whole no.
Now, I don't know if they caught wind of them getting made fun of and just, I couldn't see that being the case, them doing that strategically. But it was too unique to copy. And it was very obvious. I don't know what Cloud is doing to us, but it's insane. Just to feel cool for that 2 seconds and have it all flip on you in a matter of hours. By the time they landed in Miami, they were the most hilarious thing on Twitter. Hey, we're gonna walk out this hotel. Our group of friends, please just yell for us. We gonna be waving. It's gonna make us look really cool. That's crazy.
And if you look in the reflection of the mirror, there's no people.
There's nobody. There. There's nobody reflecting off of the car. No one. None.
I didn't know they uploaded the audio by mistake.
I love it. This is why I'm glad most people don't know me. When I walk the red carpet, I'd be like, I want to talk to y'all.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, I said it before and I'm going to say it again. These black outlets be the only ones that be saving me on most of these red carpets. It'd be the big Reggie's big and tall radio because the Variety and them be like, move now. I'm singing alone now.
And I know the woman who does the interviews on Variety. She's like, I can't.
Move. Somebody real is coming now.
Like, we can only pretend so we can record it.
Listen, I might not be able to talk to every single one every single time, but I guarantee I won't walk by them all anytime. And I know that much.
Oh, no, that's why I go to the end of the carpet.
The carpet, that's where they be.
Shiny, black and shiny radio. Hey, how y'all doing? We in y'all in Tulsa. You're listening to Black and Shiny Radio.
I'm going to do my... listen, because I ain't never going to forget. Who care? Because if it wasn't for y'all, I'd been walking that whole red carpet, take them pictures, get your butt in the theater. Don't nobody know you. Them real outlets, oh, they going to come around soon, but I'm going to always remember Black and Shiny.
I'm going to Black and Shiny first.
I'll try to work Variety. I got to go to noashytv.com and you know there's Black and Shiny's competitor. You know, you're gonna be Black and Shiny got no Ashy TV.
Be like, listen, I love you guys. I'm glad that y'all are in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Not Tulsa, Oklahoma, but what's that place with the white people? Shit, I forgot the joke ain't gonna work now because I can't remember the place.
Tulsa, Oklahoma is white.
No, but where's the white people who are Mormon?
Oh, Salt Lake City, Utah?
That's what I was going to say, Utah. That's where the competition is. Either you're in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or you're in Salt Lake City, Utah. But regardless, I'm talking to Black and Shiny, and this is That Chick Angel. Always. I will always go to the end of the carpet because they respect us.
All right, Josh, cut the video off here. I got to say something to the Patreon only, and since this bonus is going to be public, cut it off here. Don't forget, let me text y'all right now. Here's another banger for you. Here's another one. Yeah. Here's another banger for you. Here's another one. Yeah. Here's another banger for you. For you. Here's another banger for you. With my boy Kev on stage. And That Chick Angel.